Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the No Quitters Podcast, the best MTV The Challenge podcast in the universe. I am your host, Clem, and as always, I'm joined by my alliance on the podcast. We have Captain Cons Connor. We have your boy, Barstool JJ. We're getting down to it. We're whittling down and had a pretty good episode here. We had a challenge that started at 10:30 Eastern, so you knew we had some more juiciness to get into the episode, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention America's sweetheart having her heart broken at the beginning of the episode. So before we get into that, let me just say this. For anyone who follows us on Twitter, we got a good 25-minute sit-down with the Nicole Ramos, I don't really know, whatever.
She changed her last name anyway.
Future Mrs. JJ. I call her Miss JJ as of now.
Future Nicole Jokinen.
Hey, she said I had a shot. That's what I got out of it.
She did say that Jack had a shot. That's your team.
She didn't say you didn't have a shot.
Exactly.
So we have that coming up. We're going to put that at the end of the episode. So after you listen to us three idiots talk, you can then listen to us three idiots talk to a very nice young lady who was cool, very kind, had a couple good one-liners at us. So I have to give her credit for that. It's at the end of the episode. Obviously, once you download this, you probably saw that already.
That's the first time I ever slid in DMs. So like I popped my cherry. That was like pretty big.
It's not going to get much better. And since that recording has happened, obviously we tweeted it out. Jack tweeted it out. Jack, I'd love to hear the story since, you know, we'll give them a little tease. Now, what was it like when your wife got home after hearing? Because she was on a plane when we were doing all this, right?
Yeah, so she had no idea. She, like, landed. I got off the subway. So I was like, yo, I'm going to beat her home. I'm going to get flowers. Like bodega flowers, you know, it's not like our anniversary. Like I'll spend $15.
You didn't screw up that badly.
Yeah. I didn't bang the chick. And then, so I got off the subway and I got service again and I looked and she favorited a tweet. So I was like, oh shit, I better get home to like beat her. And then I just was like, oh, I'll also call my dad and bang that out. And my dad was just pitching yuppie junk ideas to me and just like, yeah, me and your mom are thinking like maybe we'll come up to New York in the spring and you can do a live show and I'll be your guest. Like, so he just kept me on the phone. So I my wife beat me up here. I walked in with the flowers and all was forgiven pretty quickly.
Being proactive instead of reactive. Very important.
Story. Right. Secret to any good marriage, I think. Right? Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, just agreeing a lot.
There's like other ways to have a good marriage, but like we don't possess those traits, Jack or I. So like we do the other stuff that gets you.
Like the best way would be like, don't Skype with like a Puerto Rican chick from a reality TV show. Like that ranks higher than flowers.
Yeah, you probably learned that one in pre-Cana. It's probably no.
But it like I said, it was a cool, good interview, cool chick. We try to keep it relatively above the belt. We try not to be too rude. Everyone has their fun. But she was very forthcoming about some stuff, so very cool. Check it out at the end. As for the episode tonight, the other girl of, you know, love of the podcast, I could say I love Jenna. I don't think there's anyone in the world who doesn't love Jenna, at least America, hence why she's America's sweetheart. We watch that sweetheart's heart break because Zach, the big old popcorn muscle himself, calls her Brooke on the phone. We kind of knew about this at the reunion last year. Remember, Connor? She talked about it.
Right, yes. Oh, yes, that is true.
So we've known about this for a while. I think that might have been on TV. I don't remember if they showed that. But it was heartbreaking. I don't think anyone was happy. She even, like, she's crying. She's sad. It turns me a million ways. And then she like, does her little braiding her own hair thing, like, the next, like, after the commercial break during the show. And I was
adorable.
Like, I'm so in love with you. You're just, she's a cute puppy. You can't even get mad at her. Like, if she poops on the rug, I guess literally or figuratively, because she's just so goddamn cute.
She just had such excitement because she knew a thing. Like, that's all that is. She braided hair just like, this is how you braid hair. Like, I know a thing.
It really is like when a hot girl says something, you just laugh at it, no matter if it's funny or not, just because she's and that's Jenna. She just knows a thing, but she's so like just the voice. I'm not gonna go on. I don't want to go out and have to buy bodega flowers for my wife when she gets home. So I'll just leave it at that. Right now.
So sometimes when I feel like you guys are running out of stuff to give me a hard time about, some other things will pop into my head, and the braiding made me think of something else. So this past fall, one of the things I would do when I was out at bars Sundays watching football with whoever is I would see if a girl wanted me to braid her hair. And that was like a nice breaker.
I can't.
All right.
So I would like, hold on.
I gotta go to bed, guys. I gotta go see a priest. And talk to a detective.
Yeah. I gotta go talk to John Turturro on HBO right now because I know who murdered Andrea.
I wouldn't just walk up to her and say, hey, can I braid your hair? Like, it was after a while, we'd be hanging out, and if her hair was down, I'd say, hey, let me braid your hair. And then I would just do a phenomenal braid. And that was just one of my ways to get in there.
I saw this story coming when you said, I have a story to tell you. You were at a bar. Did you see me shaking my head? I was shaking my head.
Obviously, yeah, you didn't want me to keep going.
No, I wanted you to keep going. I said, no, this can't be.
Imagine just being like, Mom, Dad, how'd you meet? Oh, Dad came up and braided my hair in a bar.
And it's and all it was on the wall in Hoboken.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I have a buddy who in college would go to, like, you know, friends of ours that were girls, go to their room, and he'd just play with their hair. And it was like, they'd like it because they would not let him do anything. But, you know, girls like having their hair played with, obviously Connor could tell you as well. And I was like, that's the creepiest thing I've ever heard. And that's to somebody that he's known for like a few years at college that they willingly let him do. You do this at a bar a few hours at least after meeting them. Cons, dude. I'm legit. You always never cease to amaze me. I'll leave it at that. Looks like Bill Cosby's on his way out. We're going to need someone else to take that torch. And it just may be Captain Cons. Jesus Christ, man.
It was never in any sort of creepy or malicious way. It was always very endearing. Clem, your face. No one can see your face, but the face of shock that you just displayed was unprecedented.
I don't know if, like, it's like when you watch shows like The Wire, and you realize that like the criminals aren't criminals in their own mind. They don't know that they're doing bad things or creepy things. Well, that's an eye opener.
Maybe we should just move on. One thing I wanted to talk about with Zach, he did the classic move on the phone when you know you're completely wrong and you know there's nothing you can say, so you just start getting irrationally angry at the other person. He was doing that to Jenna. He's like, now you're really pissing me off. Meanwhile, the whole time she's just crying and being upset that you called her the wrong name, which I can also speak to from experience, is probably one of the worst things you can do.
Yo, Johnny Bananas just said to Nicole on the after show, stop crying, Nicole. Your face is going to fall off.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow.
That's cold.
He knows you've been going at his neck on the podcast lately, so he's going to those around you.
He still hasn't come on. Johnny, I know you're going to hear this. Fucking tell your people to get in touch with Clem. Let's do this. Let's dance.
I think after the Jenna stuff, we went right into the challenge, right? Which was the giant shirt, which honestly I feel like would fit me pretty well. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Sarah's, I didn't tweet this, Sarah's wrist action during untying that rope one-handed kind of took me back to like, woo, like that's a good old fashioned she could give right there. I kind of got the wheels going a little bit. It got me a little hot under the collar, and I am not one for old fashions. I think I've grown out of that, but,
she showed that she definitely has the, capability to switch from your classic old-fashioned grip to a Western or doorknob grip very seamlessly.
That's a talent. Which,
you took the words out of my mouth, Glenn. That is a talent not known by many women.
Is that what they're doing when you're braiding their hair, Connor?
They're thinking about it. They're thinking, if he can braid my hair, what else can he do?
That hair braiding thing is really uncomfortable. Like, these are people's little sisters out there getting their hair braided. Oh, it's probably the most offensive thing I think you've ever done.
That's saying something.
Like, imagine like their friends are like, they like, all right, we'll see you in a little bit. We're going to go. They leave their friend at the bar, like by herself. And then she leaves the bar with a fucking French braid. And they're like, what the fuck happened? Oh, I met this really nice guy in there who just gave me a French braid. That's some terrifying shit. That is some terrifying shit right there.
Listen.
These are the people that are leading our armed forces right now, Jack. This is the face.
That's why they make them shave their heads when they go over there, so Connor doesn't fucking get everyone distracted, braiding hair, and get them all blown up. Next thing you know, it's a suicide braid. I thought that was a good challenge. Yeah. I thought it was an interesting challenge. That jump roping thing, I could see how that'll fuck you up.
Yeah. I was going to say, Connor, you think you could nail this all out pretty easily, right? As long as you had a decent girl?
Well, yeah, if the other person in the shirt was like me, like, yeah, if it was two me's, we'd probably kill it.
Oh, we lost Connor again. That's his microphone's dead.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I don't know what's going on with my mic tonight. Anyway, yeah, so definitely a difficult challenge, though, because obviously it requires a lot of coordination, requires patience, and required some endurance, it looked like. Producers came through with a really good challenge for us. I really liked it a lot. And I've never tried it, but, again, going back to Sarah, kudos to her for braiding those three strands of rope with one hand so efficiently and so quickly. I don't think she made that. You know when athletes do things and you're like, oh, wow, that looks easy. But then if you tried to go do that, you'd look like an idiot and not even come close because they make it look so effortlessly.
Yeah, everything.
Every day. Yeah. Every day of your life. Yes. That was Sarah. Yeah. That was Sarah with the rope. It was really impressive and she made it look easy.
I was thinking it was like a like old school. When he like blacks out, when Will Ferrell blacks out, it was like that. She came out and was like, I blacked out.
What happened? Did I
We
do
have
it?
No rebuttal. That is the perfect braid.
So Sarah and Bananas win, and I have the name here. Our boy Kevin Redmond said, Bananas and Sarah is the 85 Bears defense and the 07 Patriots offense combined. And that's the perfect way to put it. You have the Bananas. I mean, the physical side of things, but just, like, the political game. She has the puzzles down and kind of, like, she has that stupid preschool teacher, like, craftiness to her. It's the perfect combination, man. It's the perfect goddamn combination. There's no other way to put it. The only other thing I had from this challenge was that having Jenna, America's Sweetheart, and Nicole are the new friend of the podcast against each other at the end, kind of tore up my heartstrings. I was rooting for Jenna, but I was like, Nicole, pretty cool. She's on the good list now. So, Connor, I interrupt you. What's up?
No. I was just curious. Can you remind me what happened to those Patriots in 07?
Yeah, I know. The Giant. Hey, it was one of the best nights of my life. That's for sure. But I also had Tom Brady in fantasy that year, so I have nothing but love for the 07 Patriots. They gave
Sarah
me a lot of good memories.
Sarah is like clearly like she's a smart girl. I don't know, she probably lives in like Iowa or somewhere shitty, but like whatever. So like, she's a smart girl, like crossword puzzle smart.
Yep.
Not word search smart, but like crossword puzzle smart, Sudoku smart, mm-hmm. if you will. And but she's also got like the physical build of a girl who thinks like indoor rock climbing is a great date. So yeah. She's dangerous. She's dangerous. Yeah.
Dangerous. That's a good way to put it. So
we've been saying it for a few weeks. If they don't win, it's a tragedy.
Yeah, if they don't win, it's a tragedy, and it's only getting.
I'll bet anything that they're winning.
Yeah,
they're winning.
Actually, I have to look to see what the poll was on that in terms of the Kevin Durant, the Warriors versus Sarah and Bananas to see what our final thing was. So they win. Hold on. Let's see here. So they won. We had Devin. So let's see. Nicole and Dario came in last. And then with Bananas winning, we kind of know what's going to happen. Wes and Nani going in. Bananas again made Devin put himself in with the FU meter. I'm telling you, Devin has gone on my good side now. I actually kind of like
him. He's kind of funny. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. That was original. Again, like, he's maybe not the, like, in real life, he's probably not the funniest guy in the world, but on the challenge where it's a bunch of nitwits and stuff like that, he's pretty funny, pretty, I wouldn't say intelligent, but smarter than the average challenge person for sure. And now this is the thing, though. Do you agree with me? Devin could have had his kind of persona known as the guy who came in this year, shouldn't have come back, came back, kind of funny, entertaining. Couldn't even tell if he's like a good or bad competitor because they never fucking go into these eliminations except for when they lost. But then he goes and tries to pull the Jordan on us, you know, one-hand Jordan. And he completely fucking bailed out. And granted, he had a partner, blah, 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 all that shit. If you fucking want to throw your nuts on the table, you can't take him off the table.
No, absolutely not. It's like our boy DMX said, talk is cheap, motherfucker. Exactly. You gotta live up to that. You can't succumb to your partner's wishes at that point. I get it. It's a partnership. You got to take her thoughts into consideration. But he seemed like he was convinced that's what he was doing. And I respect him if he was going to do that. So you got to follow through.
No, that would have been so stupid. Here's what I think happens. He says, yo, we're going to pull the black one. Like, we're just going to do it. We're going to go in. And I think everyone had a little bit of like, all right, like he's bringing the fight. He's bringing the fight. But then the actual challenge happens and another team gets eliminated. And you're like, oh shit, no, you can just pick white skulls and go to Argentina. Like, definitely do that. Don't yeah. do the tough guy stuff anymore. That's what happened to me. I sat here totally like, yeah, dude, fucking do it. Let's go. Then I was like, no, man, come on. You can go to Argentina. You can tell fucking jokes there.
Yeah.
The way it worked out for Jordan, too, where he got just ran through. The thing is, Jordan also did that against Johnny Bananas, which gives him some street cred, even though it was the dumbest fucking move of all time. Again, I'm not trying to say it was a smart move, but I at least do give him credit that he did it, even though he got his doors blown off and he lost, like, potentially thousands upon thousands of dollars. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm such a thick-headed asshole. I think once you say it, you almost have to do it. But I don't know, dude. That's tough. That if I said it, I would have done it, and I would have regretted it the minute I did it. I just know that's how my brain works. I'm an idiot like that. But I never would have gotten the point to saying it. Connor, would you ever put yourself in a corner like that? I don't know what kind of I don't know much about you apparently because I would have kiddingly said you braided girls' hair at a bar. I would have never actually thought you did it.
Gosh, I like to think that my word is pretty strong and I have some pretty strong convictions. So if I make up my mind that I'm going to do something, I'm stubborn enough also to stick with it. But like Jack said, when that going to Argentina and sticking around in the game presents you right smack dab in the face, it's hard to maintain that position. Because it's obviously so easy to go the other way.
Yeah.
So
I don't think you would. I don't think any of us would be dumb enough to actually have put ourselves in that corner.
Yeah.
Like, this separates us from those. That's why, like, when we say Devin smart, it's like with a little disclaimer here. We're talking challenge smart, basically.
Yeah. I'd like to think my level of intelligence would eventually take over and make me make the right move.
They have to teach you that some point at West Point about boxing yourself into a corner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. During boxing class.
And shout out again to the midget. He did a good job of setting the stage. He made sure all the whites were in there. And we never even saw the black skull yet again. The black skull was MIA. So we get...
If I was the team that, like in this case where Wes and Nani ended up, where it's like three white skulls have been pulled, every time I'd be like, this is bullshit. Check the box. Let me see the black one. I would get indignant right away. I'd start yelling like, yo, there's a fucking midget in there.
Hate crime.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So we get the Battle of the Cousins, Wes and Nani against Dario and Nicole. The elimination, again, it was at 10:30, so I thought it was going to be like epic craziness and battles. It was, the problem was, like they said, Nani and Nicole, they didn't want to fight each other at all. I don't think Wes wanted any part of Dario. You know, old fucking...
I think we saw Wes just like realize like I don't have it.
That's a business decision.
I don't
decision.
Have it anymore. I cannot. Yeah, he's making business decisions. He cannot. He just can't go with these young guys. Like Dario just blew the doors off him. So then when Dario would just like go to check a little hip into him, that just slowed him down a little bit. There was nothing Wes could do. Like Wes, you can't even unless you can handcuff him. Like. A wrestler to the ropes when you're trying to win a ladder match, you have no shot because you're so far behind.
Yeah, like I said, the only way Wes was going to win that is if Kenny literally put him on his back again and carried him up that fucking mountain like he did that one. And that scene, I watched that probably within like the last month randomly. It came up on like a YouTube rabbit hole I was down. Wes crying as his like muscles popping out. Oh, it was on the after show a couple of weeks ago. Is such an underratedly funny moment as he's like literally whimpering and crying as he's been like the biggest hardo in MTV Challenge history. Connor, you have anything on that elimination round?
Yeah, I thought Nicole did a great job. Her size actually came to her advantage. She was able to maneuver the little course pretty quickly.
How about Bananas calling her a sewer rat?
I was just going to say, I did not appreciate John calling her a sewer rat.
John feels threatened.
That's a Nate name. We don't throw that around at friends of the podcast, let alone people not named Nate.
Exactly.
Yo, but what if we had, what if, all right, I'm high.
Yeah, shout out, we have high JJ back now that he has his vape pen. So we're getting down to the fucking really desperate parts of his mind here. Let's hear it.
What if we had people from the show on this show and then told them, well, like friends of the show are all nice to each other and we built an alliance. Now we've got a little skin in the game. So, like, we had Nicole on. We get Bananas. We get Tony. Now we've started, like, with a good core. I think we could get Jenna on. That come, you know, we probably have to automatically have Vinny, too. But now we just line up guests. We've got, like, the Bullet Club of fucking the challenge. Wow. Big things for Barstool.
It's like that list. It's like one, create alliance with challenge cast members. Two, blank. Three, become millionaires. Like, yeah. to be fair though, these people win a bunch of money just out of the blue. It's probably not that hard to swindle it from them. So if we can get them close and bring them in, we could potentially get their money in the end, right?
We just gotta, no, we just fucking come, we have them come on the show. We build a good squad. It's like owning like a race team. Like you've got a bunch of cars. There, maybe they work together to push like the top car up. But like, you know, we all get to celebrate some of the glory. And we get them wearing like Barstool merch. Like laying around the house like, oh, show free Brady or whatever. Now we're just, boom, swimming in it like Scrooge McDuck.
That's true. I mean, if you think about it, they always blank out, like, the Coke labels and the Bud Light labels and the Nike labels. Like, I think we could probably skate by with, like, Barstool merch until, like, season after the damage has already been done, they'll finally start blanking it out. We'll have to see what we can do there.
Guys, I like this idea. I like it.
Hi, JJ. He's an asset.
Welcome, everyone. I just saved MTV again.
Again, that's like the eighth time this season.
So it appeared like Wes was straight up scared of Dario. And when the second heat, when Nicole was a little behind Nani, I was like, oh, it's over. Because Dario's just going to fucking leave him in the dust. And he did. Both times he left him in the dust. That was the bigger mismatch there. I think Nicole and Nadi might have split 1-1 in terms of being faster, whereas Wes was clearly slower than Dario both times. Do I have that right?
You have that right.
Yep, yep. So anything else in the chat on the elimination?
Nope. I felt it was rough to see Nicole cry like that.
Yeah,
that yeah, was I loved it. That I was love that emotion. It's just so genuinely moved by the fact that she won, but at the same time, her winning meant that her cousin had to go home. You love to see emotion like that in competition. I loved it.
I was kind of surprised to see her crying after some of the stuff we learned in the interview.
See, yeah, we didn't, and we haven't watched the after show either, so I don't know what's going on there as well. But yeah, we definitely learned some stuff, which is coming up. And there was someone who had a great line. I'm trying to see if I can find their Twitter handle here, but she was like, hey, Nicole, you didn't send Nani to the fucking Hunger Games. You sent her home, like, from a couple $1,000s. Like, she wasn't going to win the grand prize. Not like you sent her home hundreds of thousands of dollars, poor. And shout out to the person who said Nani's going to business school after being with Wes. That's a very good call. Wes definitely, like, did some sort of, like, a pyramid scheme and, like, sold Nani her college, like, you know, application or whatever. He's definitely making
points. He's financing her loans.
He's making points off Nani's education for sure. For sure. She got the meeting with him. That's how you get a meeting with Wes, is if he can make money off you. So we go to Argentina. Nothing really crazy. It all just seems like it's going regular. And then Cheyenne became Chantel. And I will say this. I don't know if you guys have ever had this, but in college, someone gets called the wrong name. It's like Swarley from How I Met Your Mother. You have to own the name mix-up, because if you don't own it and let it bother you, it's one of the lowest-hanging fruits a friend can have, or an enemy for that matter, to just needle you. And if you don't own it, it will eat you alive. And I've had friends... I probably have even had it myself, and you have to just roll with the punches. If you let anyone, friend, a good friend or a bad enemy, know it bothers you, you're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, you just had it happen to you like a week and a half ago, Clem, when you were told your name sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, to get back at that girl, I then had her husband's mistress come on a podcast with me.
That's all tight. Goes full circle.
That's tight.
Oh, man. Use your words.
I'm really hyped for this idea of like starting basically a UFC camp of guys. Imagine we just had like a training facility, or we just got them all Planet Fitness memberships. All right. So we literally invest like $500 in these people, and next thing you know, all the glory.
I think instead of the gym membership and like a healthy batch of HGH or something, that would be our way to go. We need to sauce these people up. Yeah, that's the only way unless we're getting bananas in the camp for sure, that's the only way you're winning these challenges, because it all begins and ends with him.
Yeah. He can be paid accordingly.
Cheyenne becomes Chantel. Bananas kindly called her Siobhan, which I thought was the most fucked up thing of all. Then we got into like a little bit of a race issue, which we'll just leave alone. That was I don't even know what happened there. The thing is,
well, I felt like you got to know the names are going there with the you just got to know based on what they're saying.
Yep. Shadynasty. You thought Shadynasty was coming out sooner or later.
Yeah.
And we had this is the worst thing though. And Connor, I saw you tweeted at Vince. Like, if someone's making fun of you, it's one thing. It's when, like, the person that literally nobody in the room likes making fun of you, it makes it that much worse. Because then they're just, like, they're just assholes. It's just, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say to that person that's going to make other people like them less. Because they're already the least favorite person in that room.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I mean, guy, girl, it doesn't really matter. If one person, and believe me, I've come from plenty of locker rooms where you get your balls busted. But there's a line between getting your balls busted and when it's consistently the same person over and over and it just feels like piling on that person. It's no longer funny. Then it just crosses over to being mean. And that's what it seemed like with Vince. And now I feel bad because I can't even remember her real name. We'll call her Siobhan.
Her name's Cheyenne. Will you stop being a racist?
Cheyenne. Sorry, Cheyenne. My bad. That's on me. But him continuously going at her like that, that wasn't mean at all. That was really just him being unimaginative and basically just bullying her. And that's just not funny. And it made me think that there's a really good chance that when Vince was in high school or college, he was the one who got bullied in the locker room. And now he's in like a new environment where no one really knows his past. So he can be the big man and step up and bully other people. So I think he's kind of reverting to that and trying to make up for all the times he was bullied. But either way, he's a dick.
Mr.
I think it's smart lines. Strategy. I think it's smart strategy. You get him fired up. This is it. You're down to this last couple people. Like, you eliminate one more, like, group, and you're in the money at least. So.
Yep. I was thinking the same thing. It's a dickhead move, but it was the one with Bananas and Sarah, right? Naya went home because she touched Jordan inappropriately. Because, you know, I mean, he wasn't even really egging her on either. She's just Naya's fucking the Hurricane. We don't have to even go into that side of things. So to like, you're that close to the money. Just getting one more person eliminated from the game is it's almost a no-brainer. Luckily, and the thing is, Vince has no brain, so it all kind of works.
So, I mean, I agree with both of you. You definitely got to play the mind game. But I guess my problem with Vince playing the mind game is he has sucked now for the second straight season. Mm-hmm. And he has not really contributed to the game at all. He has just rode Bananas back the entire way.
And he's brought Jenna down.
So I don't think he's in the right place to be the one that is trying to play mind games with Cheyenne. I think that's my problem with him.
His main talent is being a dickhead. And he's doing a great job at it. It should be, you know, being a super athlete. But it's not. He's self-aware enough to realize his biggest strength is just being an asshole. And that's what he's doing. I love it. I love it. He's going to get this girl. Like, she's yelling, like, I'm going to go home. Like, imagine she just quit. Imagine she was like, you know what? Like, I really just don't want to be around this anymore. What are they going to do? Now Vince is in the money. He just bullied himself into the money.
Yep. It would be like a guy flipping over his frat brother's mattress every single day for like weeks on end, over and over, just trying to get him to quit. And sooner or later, he's going to break. There, everyone has their breaking point, right?
Yeah, some you can find a lot quicker than others. So,
all right, MVPs and LVPs. We'll start with you, Connor. Who do you have?
LVP is Vince because I don't like him. He hasn't done anything all season. He wore a stupid hat at the club, and yeah, I just don't like him.
And Bananas wore a knit hat. We got a lot of tweets about that.
Again, I mean, I've beaten that one into the ground, but knock it off with the knit hats. So, whatever. Also, Vince couldn't jump rope worth a shit.
LVP, I'm going to have to go Cheyenne, because she was kind of like a downer to Devin's whole, like, that would have been the thing that spiced up this episode. She took that away from us. Mm-hmm. The zany, crazy, like, dramatic TV thing. We didn't really get that tonight because the cousins didn't want to fight. That would have been it if she, you know, if she just let him go nuts.
I'm going to go just because I can. I'm going to go with Wes. You know, that fucking monster Wes is long gone. And having a guy like Dario, who I, you know, none of us even remotely close to like, I'd say. Just having him just fucking pepper your sauce, in the words of CT. bad look for Wes here. My MVP. I'll let you guys go MVP first. So JJ, MVP.
This may be a shock to you. My MVP is Wes.
Wow.
And I'm giving it to Wes the same way Mariano Rivera got an All-Star Game MVP. It's very ceremonial. I hope you now ride off into the sunset because you just don't have it anymore. So this is a ceremonial, like you're getting voted into your last All-Star game. Wes is my MVP. Good night. Good night, Sweet Prince.
Connor?
It's gotta be Nicole. She came through in the elimination. She showed a lot of emotion, which is something, girl after my own heart. That's something I really look for in a competitor. And also for the A-plus interview she gave us earlier today, for all of those reasons, hands down, MVP.
I'm not going to lie. I had Nicole as my MVP, and I said Jacko for that softball, but he politely declined, which is fine. You come on and give us an interview, I think you basically are guaranteed an unofficial MVP. We're not a participant league trophy, a participant trophy kind of league, so I will say that, but she definitely earned it with the thing, with the elimination here. So then I get to go Jenna. Jenna, the MVP, cries in the beginning, braids her hair, makes us all forget it.
She knows a thing. She knows a thing.
She knows a thing. And that ass shot that she had at the end there, when Cheyenne is just spilling her guts to the world, and I literally got the Men in Black flashy thing and forgot what the fuck was going on because I just saw Jenna's ass for a millisecond. That's a great of the game right there. All-time great. We have ourselves a legitimate superstar on the rise here. And she was You're the One. Are You the One, right?
Jenna?
Was Jenna? Oh, no, she was X's.
She was Explosion.
Explosion. Yeah, she was Explosion.
And she wasn't even a main cast member.
That's what I was confused. She wasn't a main cast member. She was the she was the X in that whole thing, right? Well, God, what a... and she was, what's his name? Jay?
Jay.
Oh.
Jay.
Jenna probably has some...
Gotti.
She probably has some bad old boyfriends on her resume. That's all you got to know. I mean, we start with Jay.
Yep. Jay used to be the MC at Pierview in Yonkers.
Like in
2008, 2009. Yeah. Just with a blowout, like a little dude running around.
And a tongue ring, right?
Yeah, he was really cool.
Jack will get into it, I'm sure, but we had a lot of tongue ring, belly ring, and piercings talk, as well as Pokemon Go, Subway Freaks, and other stuff on Yuppie Junk this week, so check that out. I think someone actually tweeted that at us, too, like, how did you guys not mention Jay and his tongue ring? And I was like, oh, shit. So, and I have to also shout out, I got a direct message from a Twitter user, T Dunko. For those of you that didn't watch this season's Real World, there was a guy named Dion, and he's going to be a challenge staple because A, I don't think he has or ever will have a job. And B, he's kind of a crazy motherfucker who likes to party, bang chicks, yada, yada, yada. He's going to, I think, be a big, big force on the show for seasons to come. And in case you needed any more convincing, this guy DM'd me and said that this guy ordered a shitload of booze at his bar in Nantucket and then skipped out on the bill. If you pull a move like that, you are made to be with these idiots on the challenge. So I'm telling you, for those of you that watch The Real World, you guys know what Dion's about. If not, I promise you Dion's going to be a legit force. And for the listeners that are also watching Are You the One, it's now like I watch it on Monday nights as it's being aired. It's been that entertaining of a season, I have to say that much. Asaf, the Israeli meathead, is like JJ, like Asaf the meathead Israeli. I mean, there you go, right? Do I really have to explain more about how this guy
is? Am I going to have to fuck? You know what I'm going to have to do? Like Sunday, I'm going to have to lay in bed and like DVR these.
Yeah, like make sure like at 1 a.m. when you're like, should I go home? Do like 3 shots of tequila so you're really hungover and don't want to leave your bed. And then you can watch all the ones in a marathon. I think there's like 4 or 5 of them. But again, that is the No Quitters show. We have the interview coming up. Connor, anything to plug? Anything to shout out? Jack?
Nothing. Follow me.
Follow Captain Cons at Captain Cons on Twitter. JJ?
Follow me on Twitter at Barstool JJ. Check out Yuppie Junk. Came out on Monday. My guest was Clem. It was a good time. Yeah, and that's it.
Cool. So we're going to take this to the interview with Nicole. Again, this was this afternoon on Wednesday around 4 p.m. So we talked to her. It would have been interesting if she got eliminated to see how that would have played out. But luckily, she's still around, and we're going to send you to it now.
All right. Well, I've risen from the ashes. Last week, everyone thought I was Twitter dead. But I have and it's good to know that I'm this smooth, that I've been able to slide into DMs, and we now have an absolutely huge guest, Nicole Ramos. Nicole, what is going on?
Nothing much. I mean, I thought you were dead forever.
No, I'm back. I'm very much alive. Now that you're here, I'm very much alive. This is redemption. We have a bunch of questions for you. Obviously you're very popular on the show, but first question, got to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being it doesn't matter to me, and 2 and 10 being it's very important, how important is it to you if you were to start dating someone that they're not already married?
Wait, what?
Is it important to
Is that
you?
Even a question?
Is it important, like, if you were to start dating a guy that you met on Twitter in a podcast that he's not already married?
I mean, his wife has to be okay with it first.
Damn it. This wife is not going to be okay with it. All right. We try. So,
as long as she's down for sharing, but I don't like to share. I doubt she likes to share, so it's just inevitable it'll never work out.
So you're saying there's a chance. I'm going to get real murdered at home for that one. So you joined the MTV, really, reality TV show world last year. Because you're cousins with Nani, you came in on Bloodlines. What is that experience like in terms of seeing your cousin do these shows for years and then actually being pulled into it?
I mean, it was kind of weird because I was never her first choice for Bloodlines, and nobody knows that.
Exclusive.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I was never her first choice, but that was fine because it was her sister was her first choice, and she backed out 2 weeks before the leaving date. And so she was cramming, trying to find, like, a relative, and I was just like, I'm not doing anything. And I did an interview, and then they're like, okay, get your passport. You're leaving. Goodbye. It was literally within 2 weeks of leaving for the show that I was on the show.
Oh, wow. So now that you're in the cycle, because I saw there was, like, the after show thing about how you guys just kind of get the call, are you available, the availability call. So now, so you kind of even started off with that of just like, are you available in 2 weeks? Now you're leaving.
No, the availability call goes out like a couple months beforehand. And her sister confirmed, agreed to do everything. I don't know if she signed the contract. I'm not really sure, but she was close to being onto the, like, I guess they already had her jersey made because my jersey didn't even fit me when I went on the show. Nothing fit me. Nothing was my size. They had to, like, rush everything in. So, like, it was way after, actually, the availability call. I didn't even know about the show was even Bloodlines until she told me and said, just do this interview, please. And then I did it.
This is now, like, a love story. Like, without her sister bailing, you never meet Jack through a podcast and Twitter. And, like, this is magic happening right before my very ears right now. This is a beautiful thing. Quick question. So, kind of going off of that, Nicole, were you, like, when you watched it, obviously you watched the show, but did you watch the challenge in Real World before Nani was on, or did you kind of start once your cousin was on the show?
Surprisingly, I remember when I was younger, I watched, like, Battle of the Sexes, and I was like, Anissa's so cool. I think she's so awesome because she would, like, cuss people out, and I'm like, she's a badass. And I was like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid thinking it was so cool. And then my cousin went on the show, and I'm like, oh, that's even cooler. And I watched a couple of the seasons that my cousin was on, but I wasn't like a diehard fan. Like, I wasn't tuning every Wednesday or Thursday or whenever it aired. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just catch up on it whenever, if it was on TV, I just watched it.
Yep. So that's kind of like Anissa's your Jordan, and you're like LeBron in the locker room, like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm hanging next to Michael Jordan, except it's Anissa.
Something like that. I mean, it was when I was a kid. I didn't know any better, you know? Like, she's an amazing person. She's really, really sweet. I don't know. Like, it wasn't like a starstruck moment. I had grown out of that phase. It was when I was a kid, you know?
Yep.
And then, like, these people are normal people. And my cousin even told me that. Everybody's just normal, regular people. Nobody's a celebrity. Nobody's head that blown up besides Bananas. Like,
I was going to say, has anyone told Bananas that?
Like, goodbye. No.
But so you're telling me when I'm watching on TV, those maniacs that are just acting like crazy people are normal when the cameras aren't rolling? Because for me, granted, I'm a little older now. I'm in my 30s. I'm terrified. Like, if I went in that house, I'd be dead within 48 hours. I just couldn't hang with you guys at all. You're telling me okay. that the cameras are off, it's all good?
With that being said, you have to see it as you're taken away from home. You're put into a house with all these random people you just met maybe 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. You put alcohol in the mix. You have no cell phone, no TV, no electronics. What else is going to happen but craziness? It's really not like you can't be scared of these people, because in reality, no one's going to hit you because then they can't get paid. They're going to go home with no money. So it's like there's really nothing to be scared of. All you could do is be verbally attacked.
Gotcha. So it's like you're going to a jungle, but you don't have to worry about like a panther eating you because they can't attack you, basically. So that's
yeah, because the panther wouldn't get paid, basically.
So, Nicole, now that you've done two shows, I mean, how does it work going forward? Like, do you say to MTV, hey, I want to be considered for all these shows going forward, or do you just kind of wait and see if they ask you back?
How they go about it is you don't know anything. You don't know if they like you. They're not like, oh my God, you're my number one pick. When the next show comes, they're going to call you and we're going to pick you. Like, that's not how it goes. It's all if you fit the theme. You never know the theme. It's all about, that's basically what it comes down to, yeah, is if you fit the theme and if they can put you somewhere within that show and you fit that.
Okay, so that being said, like, do they tell you, like, hey, it's a good thing if you're pretty active on social media to maintain your presence?
I would think that they like that we post on social media a lot of the stuff just because it keeps fans interacted and want to keep interested, like, keeping them interested in the show. And the people that aren't really so active, I feel like, are just over it, if that makes sense. Like, they're just, mm-hmm. like, done with the show. Like, oh, I'm so over it. I'm not going to sit here and post because I don't care.
So now, thinking of future shows, are you upset thinking of the fact that at some point they're going to try to put you in a battle of the exes with Nate as your partner?
Oh my God. Literally, I've talked about this on Twitter. I will never. I pinky promise. If I get thrown into a house and I'm stuck with an ex, and I'm just saying any ex, it doesn't even matter who it is, not even if it's Nate or if it's this person or if it's that person, anybody in my past, I will literally force myself to go home. Roll my ankle. I'll do something bad.
That's when you hit somebody. You hit someone right in the face that you've been wanting to hit. That's how you go home. It kind of two birds,
oh,
one
no,
stone.
But if I leave with an injury, I'll still get paid. You see, like, you have to do it smart.
That's smart. when you see the season now and you see yourself saying things like, it could be the L word with Nate, do you throw up in your mouth the way I do?
When I couldn't bring myself to watch that episode. I literally closed my eyes and ears.
That's good to hear. I was concerned. So in terms of, do you have any, out of this whole experience, is there like one thing that you're like, this is the coolest thing I've gotten to do out of it, whether it be, you know, when they bring you all to New York to do the reunions, people you've met at things as a result of this? Because it seems like based on your Snapchat, you lead a pretty normal life. You know, day in and day out, you have a job that's a little different than most people, but
it's
you have
a
regular ass job. Yeah, you have a regular ass job. You got to get up and pay the bills. Has there been anything that's been like, oh, I can't believe this is happening as a result of doing this?
I think the skydiving, because I've always wanted to do it, but like, I don't know. I guess I'm just too cheap to go pay $100+ to go skydiving, and you got to do it for free in Mexico. And it was just, the scenery was just so beautiful.
And then Nate even passed on that experience.
I prayed we were in the same plane so I could kick him right out of the plane.
So in terms of like your, you know, your regular, like people you deal with every day, or do people treat you differently? I mean, I guess we're kind of dancing around. You work at a strip club as a bartender. I know some of our listeners have gone in there and interacted with you, and they said you're super nice, super down to earth, you know, very chill. But does anyone treat you differently that you deal with, or do you have a lot of fans come in there and or just are weirdo listeners?
I mean, the listeners that came in, they were really nice. They didn't like bother me. They asked me a couple challenge questions, but they kept it like small talk. It was actually pretty funny because there's like some crazy people in my job. So they got to see what I deal with day to day. Like I deal with a lot of crazy old men that are perverts that are just they're retarded. Like, throw these girls money, get your couple of drinks and just be on your way. Like, they're just crazy. But to say that people treat me different, I would say no, because my close friends at home, none of them even watch the show. They all know me for me. I have such a small circle of friends that it's like they don't care at all. They're like, oh, if Nicole's gone for a TV show, oh, bye. We'll see her when she comes back.
That's awesome, because I've done one TV show. I was on one TV show for 1 hour, and it aired on a Tuesday, and I took the whole day off from work. Whereas you don't even, you're like, oh, whatever, I'm on TV. I'm still at work with my friend next to me twerking, rapping about pinky rings.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, like that was just a drunk rap song that my friend Sherry came up with, and it's stuck. And everyone's obsessed with this pinky ring song, and it's just the funniest thing. We literally cry laughing.
Do you guys have any questions for Nicole?
Yeah, Nicole, I had just a quick question, kind of going off your work. We love you. We love you on the podcast here. We're big fans, but we worry about you because you work at a strip club in Florida. Can you tell me the craziest story you've ever seen at your work in Florida at the strip club?
Okay, actually, I can tell you a pretty good one. It actually happened maybe less than a month ago. And there's this dancer, and I mean, I know she doesn't watch the podcast, whatever. Her name is Candy. She doesn't look like, oh, why would you name yourself Candy? That's stupid. But whatever, that's besides the point.
Maybe with an I or with a Y?
I think it's with a Y. Okay. Candy with a Y.
Classy, classy.
She is, I'm going to give you a little background of her so you can at least understand, because I have posted her on my Snapchat. Like, she cannot dance. And I made fun of her not too long ago on my Snapchat. But I probably will make fun of her the next time I see her again. But she's a bodybuilder / personal trainer. And she looks like she'll beat the shit out of anybody. Like, she's so masculine and she walks like a dude. And it's the nastiest thing, because it was her first night working. And I was working the door. So I work the door and the bar sometimes. And the door, I had to take care of the private rooms. So I had to set them up and then tell them which room to go back to. And I regret ever walking back there to go get her from a dance, because I saw this girl face down, ass up, fucking a guy for $30. And she was like, didn't he give you more money? And I'm like, no, girl, you fucked him for $30. That is disgusting. And ever since then, like, she would leave the private rooms with like smeared lipstick from her mouth, and you already know the guy had a happy ending. And it's just like, I feel like she brings them back there, muscles them out of all their money, and beats the shit out of them, and like bangs the shit out of them, because she's just so big and buff that the dudes are scared of her. And I think she's a nympho, because she does it with every customer. And then it's kind of disgusting, because she'll suck a dick and then go kiss another customer in the mouth and make out with them in front of me, and I'm just like, oh my god, I just want to throw up.
Connor, do you want her Twitter handle? Does she have a Twitter handle for her friend Connor here? He's single.
Nah, I need to stay away from that. But no, so in keeping with that theme, have there been any crazy interactions for you, either working the door or behind the bar?
I mean, some people are just really weird, and they want to like always touch my hand, or like, and I'm just like, don't try touching me. I'm very weird. Like, I don't like to be touched. And if I go and, like, do stupid stuff on the pole just for fun, and this old man, actually, surprisingly, it was the day that some No Quitter podcast guys had came in. This old man, I literally was on the tippy top of the pole, goes up to the bottom of the pole and pulls me by my hair. to like pull me down, like to get off of it because he wanted to give me a dollar. And I said, I smacked this old man in his arm and I was just like, don't fucking touch me, you old freak. And I like ran away from him.
So we've seen you on your Snapchat. I mean, is there any desire there to move from behind the bar to up on the stage?
Hell no. I would never be a dancer. I could never do the stuff that these girls do. Like, I do stupid stuff. Like, me and Sherry will do the surfboard because that's fun. It's cool looking on the pole. But it's not something I would ever do. I do have morals. My parents are still together. I have no daddy issues. Like, I just bartend. I'm a good bartender.
So, last strip club question. If I come, can I get in, like, no cover? My parents live in Bradenton, so I'm down there sometimes.
Wait, what was the question?
Can I get in, like, no cover? Can you hook me up?
Yeah, I can give you the hookup.
That's what's up. So, back to the show. In terms of, like, interacting, you know, back to interacting with these people, what is Johnny Bananas actually like? Because we're trying to get him on the show. He's expressed interest in it. We know, like, some of you guys listen to the show, and we're very happy you do. And so we're recording this during the day on Wednesday. We'll still record our regular show at night, and we'll piece them together. And I'm going to call him out because his people have flaked on us, and we end up always hearing from them right after. But he's got, like, a management team and stuff. Like, what is he? Is he actually a diva like that?
I don't understand why he would have a management team. Like, homeboy, you don't have a job. Like, do it yourself. Like, I don't get it. But, like, I mean, on a nicer note, he is a nice person outside of the house. When he's not being manipulative and he's not being the fucking Johnny Plantains that he is, like, he's a nice person. Like, he makes me – he's a funny guy, but, like – challenge wise, you can't trust him. But
now, do you ever see, like, if you watch the show, whether it's him or someone else, and I know you've only been on two seasons, so you haven't been exposed to a ton of it, but even with Dario recently, do you look back and see this replay and be like, motherfucker, we got played? Like, Johnny just played the shit out of him.
I mean, I kind of foresaw what was going to happen when we made the decision that we made, because if we would have thrown Johnny or Vincent, or even tried him by even just putting Vincent and not Johnny when me and Dario won, he was going to come back for us anyway. So it was like, okay, let's keep it neutral. Let's just get the people that we know we can't trust out, and we won't like rustle the feathers. Like, he won't come after us one time. And he gave us his word. We're like, okay, we'll give you this opportunity to give us your word this one time. And he gave us one free pass, and that's all we ever asked for.
In terms of looking at – now, there's guys like Bananas who've been doing this for forever. I mean, I just assume it's his career and showing up to, like, spring break. You know, Wes owns 30 companies apparently. Some people, you know, they make a career out of this. Do you have a desire to just keep doing this, or are you like – this is fun for a little bit, but I'm not going to become – because I'm going to be honest, seeing Anissa come back last season was just like when you saw, you know, like Patrick Ewing at the end of his career, like when he's on the Supersonics or with the Magic, where it's like you don't have it anymore. You can't play this game.
I would say I'm just going to ride it out until I find it not fun anymore. I don't think that I'm a good enough competitor to win 97 of these, because – nobody can tell, but when I'm standing next to other girls, I'm only 5'6" and I'm 100 pounds soaking wet. I am so tiny. So what makes you think that I'm going to be able to wrestle something out of a girl's hand and win every time? I'm not going to be able to. I was lucky enough to get as far as I did on Rivals and have a good partner like Dario to at least motivate me to get where I got. But I don't think I could ever make this a career. Like, it's just, you're going to ride that wave until it's like not fun anymore. Or until I want to have babies something.
Yeah, we don't need you pregnant on there. I worry about it.
No, I mean, they won't let you be pregnant on the show. But I mean, like, once you have a kid, like, you're done, basically.
Have you thought about...
Do you, like...
Wait, I just have one more question, Clem. Now, have you thought about... There's obviously a lot of conversation around your makeup during a given episode. Have you thought about becoming like a YouTube makeup person, or maybe coming out with an app? Because the process that you go through, they show little clips again and again. And when they're doing little clips, I know my wife is in there like, oh shit, that's how she does that. Have you thought about like going pro with your makeup skills?
That's something I've always wanted to expand and learn more about, because the makeup world, like, you can just continue learning new things all the time. Like, it's always changing, and it's something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to make my own YouTube channel, and but I don't know, like, a lot of people have nasty things to say about the way I look without makeup and the way I look with makeup. Like, I know what I look like without makeup. I see it every single day. I love myself. I wear colored contacts because I like to change my eye color. I wear false lashes because I like dramatic ass eyelashes. Like, it's just what I like. I like to draw my eyebrows on because it's me. It's the way I express myself. It's almost like how you pick out your clothes in the morning. It's just that's what I like to do.
I like everything that you do, and I really appreciate how your makeup stayed together when you were buried alive in that box. I thought actually, it started to run.
If you wanted to know something weird about that, they took us away that night. Didn't give me my makeup. I was pissed. I had to sleep princess style, so I didn't ruin my makeup that I had already did the day before. And that was like 24 hours worth of makeup. And I was surprised that wing even lasted.
Well, there we go. See, so, I've been telling all you guys and all our listeners, we're talking about talent here. People want to talk about, oh, she does her makeup different ways throughout the show. I'm talking a talented individual who I'm not afraid to say I'm in love with. Clem, you had a question?
Yeah, it kind of actually blends into that one with the makeup. How long, like, how long is a full Nicole makeup, like, from, you know, you shower, you're completely fresh out of the shower, to, like, I'm going out clubbing with my girls, and I want to go straight up 10 on everybody. How long does that take from start to finish?
To start my makeup to finish, like, let's say my hair is not even involved in this equation. It's just doing my face.
Yeah, just
put
makeup.
My face on.
Just the face.
It'll take me about an hour just to do my makeup.
I think it's worth every second. I think it's worth every second.
But it can, it's gotten, like, I've taken 2 hours. I've taken an hour and a half. But if I'm, like, focused on doing my makeup and not listening to music or watching TV, it's just an hour.
Okay.
And, like, what kind of a, like, you know, actually, we won't go through numbers, but am I saying, like, the budget of Nicole's budget, her makeup, you have to be spending some serious dough on this makeup. Now, like, this is why you need a YouTube channel or at least a sponsorship so you don't have to pay for this stuff. Because I mean,
my gosh.
Like, my wife says the same thing as Jack's mom. You have to, our wives say the same thing. Like, this girl is good at what she does, and, I mean, I don't know if anyone's listening. We have a lot of listeners who are like in random fields. If you work for a makeup firm, would you be cool if they like hit you up on Twitter and said, hey, I could hook you up with some sort of you know, sponsorship or something like that?
That should be our gift.
That would be nice.
That should be our gift to Nicole. We are going to use our connections. I got to be able to get someone in PR to get Nicole hooked up with a bunch of makeup.
I know. I need like a big hookup. You don't understand how much I've spent in my makeup collection alone. Me and my best friend are two like psychos. We're like, if she buys something, like, I had to buy it, or, like, she'll try it out, and then I'll buy it because she said it was good. But I've spent roughly, like, close to $5,000 on just makeup.
Wow.
So
you got to start winning some of these challenges. You guys start winning some of this prize money.
I know. I need a win so I could buy some more makeup and pay off my damn car.
So if our listeners are listening, either hit up Nicole or hit us up on Twitter. And even if you know someone, we need to get her some sort of a sponsorship deal. I mean, I think the YouTube channel is a brilliant idea. That's a great way to, like, you have a little career outside as well as your career that you have, you know, at the bar and the challenge. You'll start owning more businesses than Wes before you know it. You know what I mean?
I know, right? I need to have, like, a million businesses before I could even come at him ever again. So, I mean, I will never have a business meeting with him.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out how to get a business meeting with Wes. We thought it would just be like have an email or a phone number, but apparently he's a big shot. How is it in the house with him compared to, say, Bananas, where he, you know, Bananas seems like he could be a little bit of an asshole in the house. Is Wes pretty good? Obviously, your cousin had to deal with him a lot.
I mean, he was nice. He's a nice person, but I read his bullshit day one. Like, he wanted everybody to, like, follow him, and, like, I'm not stupid. I've watched the show before. I know the shit he talks in interviews, like, oh, I have these people doing what I want them to do. Like, no, bitch, I ain't going to be one of those people you have me doing what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And, like, I mean, I'm going a little off topic here, but when Sarah says in the show that, like, oh, you know, they did exactly what we wanted them to do. Like, no, we did what we wanted to do. Dario and I made up our own minds. You had no influence in it. We already knew who we were going to pick going into the power couple dinner. But back to Wes, he's that type of person to sit there and, like, to say that. And I don't like that. Don't sit here and say that you're manipulating people. Like, you're not a master manipulator. You couldn't manipulate this game. This game played you this time. And it ultimately played my cousin as well. And that was the shitty part about it. Is that if she was never stuck with Wes, she probably would have never been voted in every single time.
So
yeah, Wes was a lot more impressive when he had steroids. That was like a much better, like, that would have been a guy that you'd want to get behind. Not this Wes. He's just kind of an asshole.
I mean, he's a good competitor. Like, he didn't do terrible this season. And I mean, I don't know steroid Wes, but I guess you got to get back on those steroids.
So I think two more questions. One, you've become like great friends with Jenna, right?
We're okay. I mean, her and Nani are like way like BFFs. Like, I text Jenna sometimes. We don't talk a lot.
Oh,
I don't really talk to a lot of people from the show.
Oh, okay. Because I saw you guys all out. I wasn't sure. Other questions. Oh, no,
yeah. We all get together. Duh, I'll hang out with Jenna. She's always a good time. But like, we just live so far apart, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. And the other thing, I'm going to Chicago in a few weeks for a weekend. Do you think Nani's going to be cool if I show up to where she works for brunch and specifically ask for her to be my waitress?
I don't know. Honestly, I mean,
I'm going to be with my wife, so I'm not going to wear her skin or anything.
No, you should definitely draw on my eyebrows and be like, these are Nicole inspired eyebrows.
I will. Don't think I won't. Then she'll know. She'll be like, oh, okay. I know why you're here. Well, Nicole, we've really enjoyed this. We appreciate you coming on and really giving me a second shot. I feel like we really hit things off. If you could maybe post a little less about your boyfriend on social media, I will continue to not post about my wife, and we'll call it even. But do you have anything else?
No, that's mean. You have to post about your wife. You married her, and you wear a ring.
I do. I do wear a ring. But
so you're a cheater.
I'm not
How a cheater. You cheat on your Twitter girlfriend.
No. I think we're going to see if there's room for flexibility here. But Nicole,
Jack took his ring off before the interview.
Yeah.
No, I saw it. I saw it already. No, I can see you guys. I see his ring. He's wearing it. He's a good guy.
Do you have anything else? So follow Nicole on Twitter. It is – and your Twitter and your Snapchat are the same, right?
No, my Snapchat is Nicole Ramos with two S's, and then my Instagram is Nicole XO Ramos.
Okay, and that's Twitter. And follow...
Oh, my Twitter's the same as my Instagram.
Yeah, follow Nicole on Instagram. I've taken a peek before. Some of the pictures are very nice. So you've done, like, some professional modeling before all of this, right?
Before I just started doing the challenges, I was actually a Formula Drift model, and I traveled around the United States for 2 years doing that.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm accomplished, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Not really.
Hey, I'm with it. Well, Nicole, we appreciate it again. Thank you very much. Everyone follow Nicole. That's all I got, guys.
Thanks again, Nicole. Loved having you on.
Thanks, guys.
Bet you thought I forgot, but I didn't. Don't quit on us. We won't quit on you.